we know that in the next 20 years or so, we are going to have to essentially reinvent our material civilization.
Development is not the problem itself. It's the way we develop.
One solution after another. There have got to be well over 1,000 innovative ideas like this.
You can scatter these seeds on a field, and where the flowers come up white, you know it's safe to walk. Where they come up red, you know that there's a landmine.
Think of the multitude of opportunities out there for entrepreneurs to take up some of these innovations and run with them.
Conscious Business, evolving the world of enterprise.
Episode 28, Bright Green Future. Ross Robertson and Alex Steffen discuss the bright future that bright green environmentalism delivers today.
For commentary and information on my conscious coaching, life, and leadership services, check out ReframeAmerica.com and join the dialogue of evolving the world of enterprise. The work of business enterprises is interfused in the ecology of stuff which populates our lives. It's there in the food we ingest, the buildings that shelter us, the plenitude of artifacts and technologies that fit together like pieces of a puzzle in the worlds that we now call home. But if we're to build a sustainable civilization, virtually every human practice and institution must be transformed over the course of the next few decades. As we begin to perceive the scope of our global challenges, notes Alex Steffen of World Changing, we also begin to see that no societal force other than business is capable of delivering the magnitude of economic change in the limited time we have. So we're here today with Alex Steffen and Ross Robertson. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Alex Steffen is the founder of worldchanging.com. He's the editor of the best-selling book, World Changing, founder of the Bright Green Environmental Movement. It's really good to have you on our show today, Alex.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. And we're here with Ross Robertson as well, senior associate editor for What is Enlightenment magazine, Redefining Spirituality for an Evolving World. It's great to have you here, Ross.
Thanks very much. It's good to be here with you.
Excellent. Ross wrote an article on Alex and the work of World Changing in last fall's edition of What is Enlightenment magazine. So, Alex, why don't you tell us a little bit about what is World Changing?
Well, World capacity already, and we are, on a daily basis developing more capacity to solve these problems with innovation.
Yeah, the number of solutions found on your site and in your book is phenomenal. It's just one innovation after another that I'm finding there. And noticing so much innovation and so much potentiality for transformation in our world's institutions, it really makes me wonder how much we need to be emphasizing what's wrong and how much we should be emphasizing what's right.
Well, that's exactly it. Towards us. Recently.
That's great. Maybe you tell us a little bit about the few of the most innovative solutions found in your book.
Well, it's hard almost even to know.
Unique about the World Changing Book was how many solutions to problems in the developing world you have found in there. I mean, everything from the the canister that can be rolled along the ground, pulled by a rope for carrying water. I mean, one solution after another. There've got to be well over 1,000 innovative ideas like this.
Yeah, there are well over. You're talking about the Q-drum. Which is the water container. Quite wide-ranging book, and we've continued that work as well, of course, on the site, and we will continue it in our next book.
Yeah, when I think about this in relation to the world of business, I not only think about how many solutions are out there not being enacted, not being implemented, but also think of the multitude of opportunities out there for entrepreneurs to take up some of these innovations and run with them.
We know that in the next 20 years or so, we are going to have to essentially reinvent our material civilization. We know that we're going to need to create have not yet been invented, you know, or if they have been invented, they certainly haven't made it to market yet. So we know that it's possible to do that. We know it's possible to invent them and get them to market. And the people who are smart enough to figure out how to do so in a business-effective way are going to make an awful lot of money.
I'm wondering if you can say a little bit about how this bright green environmentalism differs from a lot of the environmentalism that we're more accustomed to.
Join the dialogue on ReframeAmerica.com.
Well, so the standard breakdown that people... much lighter impact on the planet.
That's great. The positivity and the proactivity of it really stands out in my mind. When I look back to my days in the early 90s, my budding environmentalism, I wonder if I would have been able to embrace anything like bright green environmentalism. There were so few technological innovations, so few environmental businesses. The conscious consumerism movement seemed in such a fledgling state. Do you think bright green environmentalism would have even been possible 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago?
Well, that's a good question. I think that there realistically about altering those systems to produce different outcomes, you know, and when you don't know what you're doing, it's very hard to do the right thing.
You know, one of the things that's standing out as we're talking about the emergence of this movement and how the movement emerged is the incredible complexity of it all. Not only do we have better ways of tracking all of this information, more innovation, more integration, but I think the movement is more global than ever before and larger. And it makes me think of the evolution of society itself, the evolution of our ability to comprehend these problems. Wondering if you have any thoughts on this issue, Ross.
And I think, you know, one of the reasons that we were interested in this topic at What is Enlightenment magazine is because, you know, we're really our interconnectedness with the rest of life and with the emerging sense of sensitivity to our impact on the planet. And but for the mainstream, it was really the way of thinking was that, you know, that technology was the enemy and modernism itself was. Quickly, and it's going to kind of tap people's inherent impulse towards making the world work in ways that really are prosperous, and not just for ourselves, but for the rest of the globe as well.
So true. You know, one of the similarities I see between the integral movement, which is really growing at an incredible pace, the similarity I see between this and the bright green environmental movement is this comfort with human civilization that hasn't really been there in the environmental movement. It's really been thus far largely countercultural in the deepest sense of counter to culture itself.
There's an integrated way to look at all this, and that a big, you know, we need prosperity, we need material prosperity, we also need new ways of making meaning of who we are and where we are and what, you know, and of our lives and society in this time. And I think just as bright green is really arguing for a revolution in what we see as being possible, you know, and one of the things that what is Enlightenment is so interested in is pushing, you know, a real revolution in the way we understand. To the world and into kind of living engagement with the challenges of being alive today is a great source of inspiration and also strength, I think, for dealing with the overwhelming nature of a lot of the problems that we're faced with.
Join the dialogue on ReframeAmerica.com. Conscious Business, evolving the world of enterprise.